Hey, Nick.
Hey, John.
Who stole Iron Man's grave?
I have no idea.
Robert. Grave Robert Downey Jr. Grave Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, my God.
Are you just tired today, or?
And just.
We're going to start the episode off like that. This is Stranger Still. Welcome to another episode of Stranger Still.
I'm John Beacon.
I'm Nick Wood. And
I'm
today,
Jeff Kowalski. Oh, see, you were going to introduce me. I was just jumping right in.
Well, you're eager beaver. We have a very special guest to start off. October month.
It's one word, Nicholas.
It's our spookiest month of the year, so I thought that we would bring in the host of Creepypodsta. Now you can say your name.
Okay, see, this is very misleading to me. It's Stranger Still to be on this podcast. I'm Jeff Kowalski, the internet's foremost expert on creepypastas.
And a perfect guest to have on our episode talking about grave robbery and body snatching.
Yeah, so for all the old people out there, can you describe what kind of creepypastas you like? What's your favorite? Your fettuccines, if you will?
A creepypasta, despite its name, is not a type of food, but is a virally distributed horror movie from the internet, deriving its name from copypasta, which was a term for people who would copy and paste comments that were usually meant to troll or amuse,
like the Tree Fitty ones,
forum members. I can't think of an example of a popular copypasta, because it was usually just like a very bad post that someone would repost as a dumb joke, but then people started doing spooky ones like, oh, this scary thing happened to me, and then someone else would copy it onto a different forum and be like, actually, it happened to me. And so the term worked that way.
Yeah, it's like a modern urban legend.
Except now, the main place where things in this cultural phenomenon or medium or genre exist, everyone knows that they're fake, and they don't really get distributed virally anymore. So, I don't know. I'm still trying to work out my grand unified theory of creepypastas.
Let me know how that comes, because I think once you crack that nut, the whole universe is going to explode.
Yeah, or just be a monster and hide in people's beds and make them real.
Make the creepypastas real, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I have to come up with a definition that includes all creepypastas while excluding no creepypastas and not including any non-creepypastas. It's like, who is it? Plato? Plato talked about the object of, like, a chair is not what you think of when you think of the word chair, but there is this ideal, the Platonic ideal of a chair that exists only in your mind.
Most of my relationships with chairs are platonic.
Then you just haven't met the right chair yet. That's all right.
Someday, John. Someday.
It's okay. Everyone blossoms at a different rate.
I'm really creeped out.
Where
here.
Are we? I'm lost.
I'm lost, too. What were we talking about? This is a show.
Grave robbing.
What do?
We answer strange questions that you probably didn't know about.
That's our slogan.
Yeah. You ever thought to ask?
Yeah. So, I gave Jeff a list of topics to mull over that were suggested by our listeners. Most of them were suggested by Jason, who's also a common contributor to your podcast, Jeff. And chose...
He's a very prolific poster on our Facebook group.
He's incredible.
Yeah, ours too. And even, I think he suggested grave robbing. But what made you choose grave robbery?
It seemed like the spookiest one that was also, like, a concrete topic. I can't remember the other topics offhand, but some of them seemed like, that's going to be hard to learn about, or that's not spooky enough, that kind of thing. Or, like, too
except,
broad.
Except for like... the two on there that were really good that are going to be our next two episodes that other people picked. Mm. But besides those ones, yeah.
I feel like one of them was, like, horror movies, and, like, yeah, that's a good topic, but it's also very, very broad. We've been mm-hmm, making yeah. them for as long as we've been making movies, so right. that's at least 100 years worth of subject matter History. And very varied. Grave robbing well, is always the same you. Thing. You go and you dig up a grave and you take what's in there.
And that is our episode. Thanks for listening, guys.
Good night.
There's actually some really interesting stories to grave robbery that is kind of where I wanted to focus our discussion. Because grave robbery itself is pretty straightforward. I think the definition that Jeff gave will work. But it gets more complicated when you get into, like, archaeology and whatnot and, I don't know, Indiana Jones type of thing.
Yeah. I was just going to say that.
Well, when we get... For this episode, I want to stick to your run-of-the-mill grave robbing or body snatching, which is, like Jeff said, you dig up a grave and you take what's there. And it's important to, as Jeff and I were discussing before we started recording, it's important to make a distinction between grave robbery and body snatching. Do you know why that is, John?
Because you're getting what you're getting, man. It's about the loot that you're stealing. So either you're trying to take the body and give the body away, right?
Yeah.
Give out like livers and hearts and stuff, or you're getting the loot from it.
Right, but wouldn't you say that stealing a body is also grave robbery?
Sure, sure.
Well, I compare it like the rectangle square situation where like... Every body snatching is a grave robbery, but not all grave robberies are body snatchings.
I don't think every body snatching would be a grave robbery, because you can steal them from the morgue.
Yeah. Oh.
That's not a grave, dude. What if there's just a body, like, in the road or something? And it's wearing a t-shirt that says, snatch me.
I do think that this Wikipedia article only discusses body snatching from graves, but I feel like that term could apply to... stealing it between death and grave.
I think if you're going to expand it out, you could talk about how someone like stole Einstein's brain and then started dissecting his brain unauthorized. That's technically like body snatching.
Then they implanted his brain into their own brain and used the psychic powers to take over the world.
And that was the story of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
This is actually a very bad X-Men and Avengers plot.
Was it?
Yeah, oh, the Red Skull steals Professor X's brain and puts it in his own brain, and then becomes the most powerful psychic in the world.
Does he call himself Frank Einstein at least?
Oh, that would be pretty good.
That would have been very good.
Oh man, make Frank Einstein. Make a Frankenstein.
We're
going to
make Frank Einstein
Einstein's
movie.
Brain. Einstein's brain in a criminal's body.
Ooh, what hijinks coming will he get summer. Up to? Equals MC what?
We'll make a trailer.
Equals MC scared. Duh.
Oh, Frank Dude. Einstein.
All right, this has to happen now, otherwise we've disappointed the entire universe.
Pause this. TM. Yeah. Trademark Jeff Hang Kowalski on. 2017.
Now, again, what sucks is we can't release this episode. We have to mail it to ourselves.
Yeah.
Yep. You have to put the cassette tape into a little box and seal it shut with your... house sigil in wax.
I'm glad you knew that I still had cassette tape sitting around here.
I assume this is recorded onto cassette and mailed out to all your Patreon backers individually.
Yeah, if you want to join our Patreon, I'm just kidding, we don't have a Patreon yet. But where were we? I forgot what we were talking about. Grave robbery. Who would have thunk?
We were just talking about the definition.
Introducing the concept of grave robbery.
So let's get back to that. I'm having a hard time because I'm just having fun. So what I really want to focus on is when people are stealing bodies and goods from a grave, because there is actually a heyday of grave robberies and body snatchings mm-hmm. that we'll get into. Surprisingly, unsurprisingly, grave robbery has been around for a very long time. How long would you say, John?
The Egyptians, Nicholas. Don't give me that. Stop looking at me. I get it. It's
Jeff,
always
any
the
guesses?
Egyptians.
How long grave robbing has been around?
Yeah.
Since grave
robbing. Yeah, I would also say back to Egyptian times, since they put all kinds of traps in the pyramids.
But yeah. Hold on a sec. This is the time in the podcast where Nick says, oh, really? And then he just comes up with, like, actually, it happened 10 years ago. Or, oh, yeah, the cavemen used to steal them.
Actually, no, you guys are kind of right on the money.
Yeah, we win.
Look at
that. The date that I had was, like, back in China, they had troubles with grave robbing as far back as 2000 BCE, which was also around the Egyptians' time where, like Jeff said, the reason they put all kinds of false rooms, false hallways, and booby traps inside of pyramids mm-hmm. is because people knew that they would try to get into these pyramids and steal the things that the pharaohs were buried with. Mm-hmm. The other thing about China is, for a long time, there was this myth of the jade armor suits that the Chinese emperors and royalties would wear when they were buried, and no one had ever found them until, like, due to happenstance, some archaeologists found two jade armor sets, because all the other ones had been stolen out of the graves.
Oh, damn.
So they finally came across it and confirmed this myth that was around for a long time about this mythical armor.
Or what's his face, who still hasn't been discovered, that's surrounded by a pool of mercury?
The city of Atlantis.
Nah, that Chinese emperor.
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, I thought you were referencing 2017's The Mummy. Because that mummy is...
Did you see that?
Yeah, the mummy is dunked in a pool of mercury in, like, the Middle East, and they're like, why is this mummy not in Egypt? And also, why does it seem like it's in a prison? And then they discover why, because the mummy comes back to life.
Evil.
Yep.
Was it, on a scale from 1 to 10, how bad was that movie?
It was strange, because some of the performances were really excellent, like, Russell Crowe as Dr. Henry Jekyll, I think, did a really good job, and Sophia Boutella as the eponymous mummy was incredible. She doesn't have many lines, but she's very good at face and body acting.
Yeah.
As you can tell by her role in The Kingsman, where I can't remember a single thing she says, but she has knives for legs and kicks people with them.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah.
That's right. I can go see the second one of that.
Yeah, I think The Mummy is worth a rent. But, like, sometimes it takes itself too seriously, and other times it doesn't take itself seriously enough, and the screenplay needed, like, two more drafts before it was ready to be shot.
You know what's funny is I just remembered that movie we walked by and saw on the shelves was The Mummy.
Oh, there you go.
Was like, that's already out on DVD?
Yeah, it came out in June.
Yeah, that's nuts for turnaround. Speaking of mummies, pyramids. So what I want to direct our discussion with comes way after that, about like 4,000 years later, toward the late 1600s, early 1700s, all the way till 1832. Yes, I have an exact year when grave robbery stopped forever.
Oh, good. Thank goodness.
Yeah, no graves have been robbed since 1832 at all?
Right, none. Mm. We'll get there.
Amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
That was the day that Sergeant Cooper said, case solved.
And Scooby was like, row, row.
Mm-hmm.
I always have to put a Scooby-Doo reference in, apparently. Yeah. Anyway, so does anyone in the class have an idea what also started to happen around the 16, 17, and 1800s?
America.
Well, yes, America. That's good. what else? I'm just staring at John blankly.
The 16 and 17, that's a lot of years, man.
It is. That's almost 300 years.
The Industrial Revolution?
Yes, actually, and that'll come up later in this episode, but what I'm getting to is modern medicine.
Modern medicine.
That's right, yeah, because all the grave robbing was to get bodies for doctors.
Exactly. So instead of turning to shamans and witch doctors to solve our problems, we saw that there was this thing called medicine and science, and we wanted to use that instead of...
They used to
boogie boogie magic.
Well, it wasn't just boogie boogie magic, but it was also the campaign that they had against the witches. The Witches Give Bad Stitches campaign.
Yeah, so that was very damaging to their reputation.
Absolutely.
So, in order to understand the human body more, we needed to cut open that bad boy and dissect it, right?
No,
or the good boy.
This is how Burke and Hare became famous. They started robbing graves and then started killing people to get the bodies because it paid a lot.
It did pay a lot, and we'll get to prices later, but Burke and Hare were the most famous body snatchers throughout, I think it was the 1800s at this point. They had...
Yeah, the most famous body snatcher of the 20th century is serial killer Ed Gein.
We should talk about that. I don't have that in my notes.
I thought that he was just a killer, but I just discovered through a link on the body snatching page that he stole bodies to make decorations out of their bones.
Yeah. Wow. We'll save that for modern grave robbery, because I didn't even think of that, and I really want to talk about him. What Burke and Hare were doing were they were taking bodies that were recently buried and selling them to medical schools because they needed someone to dissect. Before this was a thing, I say bad boys because they would only use criminals, like hardened criminals, like murderers and rapists. They would take their dead bodies after being hung or something, and they would give those to the universities to use for dissection.
Yeah.
Eventually, though, and I have a stat here from Forbes that around this time, there was only 4 medical schools in America, the 13 colonies, and it exploded to 160 schools. So just think of the amount of students that would require, at least like a couple thousand, I don't know.
I think it's weird that by exploding the first 4 schools, they made so many more. You would think that they would just build other schools and not blow up the original ones.
Yeah, it seems like a big waste of time, actually. I mean, I guess you get more bodies out of it, but...
Maybe it's like superstitious or something.
Yeah.
They could have used the bodies from the explosion, you're right. But instead, they started to run out of convicts, and so people turned to... taken dead bodies, and it was actually surgeons at the beginning would just go find new
people
bodies,
and they would make them run stop signs so they turned into convicts, right?
That's not hardened enough. Oh. They'd have to like steal a balloon on free balloon day
here,
or something.
Hold this money bag for a sec
and run away. It has the money sign on the outside of it. But no, eventually surgeons turned to paying people for digging up these bodies and providing them to them, and people like Burke and Hare would go out and do this, and eventually the bodies started to go away. They didn't have enough bodies anymore because they were supplying too many. Another stat that I have, I believe this was from encyclopedia.com, something like that. There, in London alone, there were 700 students enrolled annually, and each one of those required a body to dissect.
Where were Burke and Hare?
In London.
Oh, in London, okay.
Yeah, so
and
this
how
was...
Come, how come they didn't use any shampoo?
I don't know where you're going with this, so why don't you just tell me?
No, I'm just asking if they had Burke and Hares, why didn't they, like, fix their Burke and Hares and cleanse them, maybe get a good conditioner.
Go home. I'll just podcast with Jeff.
I'm mad both because of that pun and because I'm losing the pun competition.
Are you keeping track at home?
I assume a listener is keeping score and will tweet about it at us.
All right, perfect. Someone do it. Go back and listen. But... anyway, that was just in London that there was 700 students annually, and the schools metaphorically exploded in America, so both London, England, and America were having this problem. So eventually Burke and Hare resorted to killing people to get these bodies, and throughout their run before they got caught, they had killed between 16 and 30 people in the process.
Yeah, they were convicted of 16 murders, but it could be many more.
Right.
It seems like not enough to be worth it. How much money were they making per body?
That's a good question. So, in today's currency, why don't you guys take a guess? What do you think?
$100 each.
$100 each? What do you think, John?
In today's money.
Hey, listen, buddy. I'm just telling you right now. I know I'm from New York. I know what I'm saying. I don't know nothing about this, buddy. I can't tell you. I have no idea how much a body's worth. Well, I mean, on the black market, if I had to guess, maybe $12,000 and 32 cents.
Okay, that's a little too specific.
No, I'm just saying.
Well, back in the day, they got between $2 and $35, and given the wide breadth of years that this took place, I just did a range of $2 in the 1700s and 1800s, and then $35 in the 1700s and 1800s, and made a range there. That would have come out to between $54, which seems like not worth the effort for me, all the way up to $1,300.
Okay. But. Hold on a sec.
So you were both right.
What was healthcare like back then?
Not very good.
Yeah. They got free healthcare, I bet you. This is a good time to start talking about Medicare for All, Nicholas.
I'm going
to
cut you off right there. We all know you like Bernie. Blah, 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 blah.
No, but if they're selling to medical students, they're probably like, hey, bud, can you... give me a blood transfusion real quick. I'll give you this body.
Yeah. I also want to mention that medical deformities would net more cash if you found like the corpse. Yeah, a corpse of a conjoined twin or someone with elephantitis or something like that. You're making buku bucks.
Are you going to talk about the end of Burke and Hare? Because I have a really fun fact that I want to share about after they died.
Yeah, I was. If you want to, you want me to talk about it first and then tack on your...
Yeah. Give me your take, and we'll see if you have the fun fact in there already.
Okay. I don't have much. I just know that they were caught, and there's this thing called King's Evidence, which is if you testify against, like, your partner in crime, you won't be executed. So Hare turned his back on Burke, testified against him, and Burke was hanged to death. And then his body was given to medical schools for dissection.
Yep. That was exactly it. His body was given to the Anatomical Museum of the Edinburgh Medical School and is still there today.
In the ultimate act of irony, if you're ever in an argument with someone about what irony is, this is it.
His death mask and a book bound with his skin are in the Surgeon's Hall Museum, which I assume is at that same place.
Human skin bound books is disgusting. But we'll get there when we talk about Ed Gein.
But
that's how you get deadites. You gotta be careful.
They did do it for Harry Potter's Chamber of Secrets. So,
and they also did it in
that's what they use his
Evil
skin
Dead
for.
Army of Darkness.
No. That's what the book is of
Tom Riddle
of Burke. They've used his skin to make a copy of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Boo. Why would that be the one? Of the seven Harry Potter books, it's Chamber of Secrets that's bound.
It's
in
Chamber
skin?
Of Secrets.
They
yeah.
blew their load on Chamber
not,
of Secrets.
Not something that like maybe a little more ominously titled, like The Prisoner of Azkaban.
No, yeah,
or the Deathly
Hallows.
It was
a poor choice. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, but there's also an exceptionally okay movie starring Simon Pegg and Gollum, whose name escapes me.
Andy Serkis.
Yep.
I think what you mean, star, not Gollum, but star of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes as Caesar the Chimpanzee.
Sorry, his more notable role.
Genuinely an Oscar-worthy role, I would say even more so than Gollum.
Yeah, green screen boy. Green boy.
He is Green Boy.
He's motion capture the actor.
Yes. Also Snoke from Star Wars. You know, if you see someone digitally constructed, it's probably Andy Serkis. But they're in a movie called Burke and Hare that we rented on a whim, and it was not very entertaining. So eventually that fun had to come to an end, right? You remember that year?
1832.
Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
Wow, he was running very late.
He didn't have a pocket watch. In 1832, harsh legislation was enacted to stop grave robbers and body snatchers, and for the most part, it kind of stopped right there. To curb the need for bodies, they started moving on to poor people, which is great. Not really. They, instead of only using convicts, they said if people had died inside of an almshouse, like a state-funded almshouse, which is like a halfway house, then they could use those bodies for medical dissection.
Cool.
So that sucks. There's also some other, of course, when you talk about grave robbing, that's already shady, but there's other shady things that go along with it. For starters, mostly people of minorities' graves were robbed. One note that I had here was that African Americans, I guess if you're in England, black folks, were more likely to have their graves robbed because they weren't allowed to give their families proper funerals, so they would have them in secret at night. And at night, people would just be roaming around. They'd see these people huddled around a grave, and they know exactly where to steal a body from.
Yeah. this was especially a problem in the American South because the slaves, of course, did not own their own bodies or the bodies of their families, and so those could just be sold to people, same as when they were alive. It was a very grim, terrible issue to read about on this otherwise lighthearted article about stealing dead bodies and selling them.
Yeah. There's also problems with people stealing the bodies of Native Americans and stuff like that, and I think that's just a level of a disassociation from the body, like they feel like it's less pure, I don't know, less good than a white body, so they don't feel as bad about stealing them and getting money for it.
The people you're going to mistreat in life, you're not going to respect after they're dead suddenly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And there's actually an interesting little thing here where people were so afraid of grave robberies at one point that there were anatomy raids, is what they were called. There would just be like riots where people would come out with their torches and pitchforks and go after the body snatchers. And there's like an instance where medical students were holed up in one of their colleges somewhere because they were afraid to go out and get killed. And some people were actually killed in the process, which is frightening.
Yeah, and then their bodies are actually medically used to
probably
search things anyway.
Depends on if they were murderers or not.
I see. Here's why 1832 was that date. I didn't realize this. They passed a law in England that said you couldn't just have random bodies. There was like a UK authority for making sure that the bodies were ethically sourced.
Yeah, and the problem with charging people with body snatching is that bodies back then didn't really, you couldn't stake a property on it. So like the state couldn't charge someone for stealing it or whatever. And I believe this bill curbed that loophole. I mean, at the time, people still got around it. They would find things to charge them for. But this really put it like a stick in the mud and said no more. Then we come to today. It did, obviously, it stopped for a while. Body snatching anyway. I think people would still dig up graves to take what people were buried with. I read about a poor couple that would take the clothes people were buried with and try to sell those. Which to me, that I don't know how much you would get for that.
It's vintage, dude. You get a lot.
I guess it depends on who you're digging up.
It's instinctually vintage. Yeah. Or, what do you call it?
Instantly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of those I words.
There's a lot of I words.
One of the ones that start with I. That are in the dictionary.
Ice cream.
You have to get one of those 26-volume dictionaries, one book for each letter of the alphabet, and just look at all of the ones in the I book.
I only read through the I's. Yeah.
Poor guy. Yeah,
the eyes have it.
Nice. That was a good one, too.
You catch
one for Jeff. So today, we have actual Tomb Raiders. It's not as sexy as Lara Croft or Indiana Jones, but there are archaeologists going to ancient burial sites for the most part and digging up what's there to tell us about our history. Without that, we wouldn't know about King Tut.
Sure. And Nicholas, now I know that you're not a very judgy person, but what makes them not as sexy as Indiana Jones or Lara Croft?
Khakis mostly.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of jorts.
Yeah, a lot of jorts. Mm. I just don't like their haircuts. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting problem. I don't know how much it happens today, but unearthing ancient artifacts like during the early 20th century and then putting them in museums thousands mm-hmm. of miles away where the people whose history it is can't like benefit from it or like profit from tourism of it was like a huge issue. And I think a lot of that stuff is starting to get repatriated.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. the big thing is that it kind of still is an issue. But a lot of these people are being paid tribute. A lot of these cultures that are being taken advantage of are more conscientious about it, so they're fighting back against it, which is great.
Yeah.
The other thing is that our archaeologists are a lot smarter than... I shouldn't say smarter. They're a lot more conservationist than they used to be. Mm-hmm. So when they go to a site, they'll say, I'm going to take these steps to make sure I preserve this site as much as possible, be as respectful to land and not tarnish this ritualistic land or whatever.
Yeah, that was a movement from an archaeologist named Dr. Jones who helped pioneer that, and he really was like a conservationist.
He always said that this belongs in a museum.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think he's quoted that on his epitaph.
And he fought Nazis, so mm-hmm. good job.
Something we still both of those things today. So
the other thing that I came across in the Wikipedia article is that this is still apparently a large problem in China even today. With the advent of night vision goggles and stuff, people will put those on, go out to burial sites, dig up what they find, and huck those to their local pawn shop or whatever.
Yeah, no wonder we get such cheap prices on Amazon.
Oh. Ooh. I don't know, I think that's all I got on grave robbery. Are there any questions I didn't answer or any points you had, Jeff?
Well, I know you wanted to touch on Ed Gein a little bit.
Oh, yeah, we're going to go into modern, I thought.
Yeah. Well, I talked about tomb raiding and archaeology, China. Ed Gein was the modern Birkenhair. I guess he wasn't selling the bodies for profit or the things he found for profit.
His Wikipedia photo, he looks just like Jackie Earle Haley, and I'm surprised they haven't done a biopic starring him yet.
Let me look this up.
My first experience...
He played Rorschach.
Oh, yeah.
Was Ed Gein the grindcore band that I listened to growing up?
There's a band named after him?
Oh, heck yeah, dude. My friend used to wear it in gym. He used to wear Ed Gein t-shirts when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And it was... they were straight edge, too, so he had a shirt that said, "Why don't you smoke a shotgun instead?"
So...
Which you probably cannot wear in schools anymore.
Hell no.
Oh, definitely not. It has two references on it that are not okay, in addition to a serial killer's name.
Yeah. The Ed Gein is an interesting guy, and there's a lot of the true crime podcasts I listen to talk about him. The main one I listen to is Generation Y. But he was the inspiration for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Psycho for two different reasons.
And Silence of the Lambs.
Oh yes, sorry. The first
there's a lot. You don't have to apologize. There's like a list of 30 different fictional serial killers that he inspired.
Which ones stand out to you?
Norman Bates, Leatherface, Buffalo Bill, someone from American Horror Story Asylum, the House of a Thousand Corpses, and Devil's Rejects are apparently based on him slightly.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, I'll do a quick summary of Ed Gein, and you'll probably know why he's inspired all of these. He had a very overbearing mom that he loved very, very much. And if I remember, this is off the top of my head, so correct me if I'm wrong. I believe he ended up killing his mom? Am I right on that one?
I don't know much about him, because I haven't read his okay. Wikipedia page fully.
So our listeners out there, just note that this is off the top of my head, so it might be a little bit wrong. I do know that he at least kept his mom's body and wore her clothes around, and I believe wore her skin around as like a skin suit. The other thing he did was he didn't actually kill people at first. I know that for a fact. He would go dig up graves and make things out of their body parts. So he made like lampshades and earrings and clothes and anything that you could like make leather into, he had probably made that into something at some point.
Also, I have to correct myself about that shirt.
Oh,
I think that was a Norma Jean shirt, not an Ed Gein shirt, which is another. Wait, that was a hardcore band, not a grindcore band.
All right, hang on.
I mean,
correct your
squares and rectangles.
Yeah,
who's really keeping?
We're gonna lose one listener if we get that wrong.
That's true. I was going to say, who's going to hold you accountable? But you answered that
biggest
for me.
Biggest Norma Jean fans, yeah.
You absolutely know someone is going to write in and be like, actually, John, they were more progressive deathcore than they were grindcore.
I'm so excited for that. Bring it on. Yeah, I think they're a pop, like a power, like a K-pop band called Norma Jean.
Weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, the whole point of Ed Gein is that he was the inspiration for like Buffalo Bill because he wanted smooth skin to use in making skin suits and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He was the inspiration for Norman Bates in that he wore his mom's clothes around and acted like her. And he was like Texas Chainsaw Massacre in that he would make things out of human leather. So,
yeah, or Jason Voorhees.
Yeah.
His weird mama relationship.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that might be an inspiration, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because he was very obsessed with his mom and like took care of her in the years leading up to her death.
And he kept her, too. He kept her body, like Ed Gein did.
Yeah. And at some point,
no, I was talking about Ed Gein. I don't know. I don't know what Jason Voorhees' relationship with his mom was like, other than bad.
Yeah, pretty bad.
I don't know the canon of that either. But they eventually, Ed Gein killed one or possibly two people, and that's how they discovered all this stuff just in his house,
mm-hmm.
which is very creepy. So that's Ed Gein, our modern grave robber. I'm sure it still happens today. But yeah. What else we got to talk about? Anything?
I don't know. I think we gained some knowledge. That's all I...
Yeah, Jeff, are you keeping up?
We robbed the grave of this topic and took all of its valuables and sold them for money. Oh, jeez, he made a lampshade from someone's face.
Isn't that gross?
That's wild. That's like the hardest skin to make a lampshade out of, I think.
I mean, it depends on how old and decrepit it is. It might be stretchier if it's old.
Yuck.
Is that a recap?
I wouldn't think it would it get stretchier if it was... I don't know.
I thought you'd get baggier.
Right?
Make like a vintage lampshade.
Brittle. But yeah. I guess not.
If we have any listeners out there that have made a lampshade out of human face, what?
Oh, okay. Well...
What do you think I was going to say?
I don't know.
You just didn't want me to say it?
Lots of taxidermy stuff.
Yeah. So if you know, let us write in and let us know. Oh, what else you got?
Indiana Jones's son, Mutt Williams, is 79 this year.
Really?
Yeah.
So Shia LaBeouf is 79?
Nope.
Shia LaBeouf isn't his son.
He played his son in a movie. It was fictional, Nick.
Oh,
Nick, it's not real, dude.
That actually explains a lot.
You'll find more cheer in a graveyard.
Guys.
What's up?
Jeff, where can people find your stuff?
I'm J3FK on Twitter. And you can also go to weaponizedlanguage.com where you can listen to my podcast Creepypodsta that we discussed earlier. And also unrelated to any of this is my other podcast, Seeing Reddit, where me and two friends go to a random subreddit each week and are baffled by it.
Well, hang on, because I think Reddit can be a very scary place.
Yeah,
that's true. Although a few years ago they did delete the majority of the like openly offensive like hate subreddits, like r/fatpeoplehate, and a couple of the other ones that I don't want to say because their names include racial slurs. And they deleted those after a while.
Jeez.
But yeah, there's still a bunch of really bad stuff up there that is very terrifying.
Well, like the ones where you can go watch someone die and stuff. Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
October month! Yeah.
Is there anywhere else people can find you, Jeff?
Like, specifically? No, you got an address?
I mean, if you sign up for my Patreon and get one of the levels where you get something mailed to you, you'll have my return address on the envelope, and you can use that to stalk me, but otherwise... Ooh. I don't think I'm going to get Patreon supporters through this, but I guess if you want, you can go to patreon.com/JeffJK.
Well, they're not giving us money, so...
That's true.
You guys should start a Patreon. I get, like, $75 a month through there, which is not a lot, but it's a couple tanks of gas.
That's awesome.
Heck yeah. I will also plug Jeff. Go listen to his podcasts, because I actually listen to them every week. Just to let you know how much of a fan I am of you, Jeff.
You've both been on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the first time we've ever guested on a show was on Jeff's podcast, Creepypodsta.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Oh, really? So go listen to it. You'll probably enjoy it. Even if you don't like scary stories, you'll probably still enjoy it. So.
Oh, I'm on another show, guesting on another show that comes out probably around the same time as this, called Redemption Arc, where they review the 0% movies on Rotten Tomatoes and see if they really deserve such a horrible score, and we'll be covering Return of the Living Dead Part 2, which I have seen before and know for sure is a good movie.
Really cool. I'm excited to listen to that because that sounds like a cool concept for a show, and it's fitting for October month!
Yep.
That's why I picked it.
No, it's October month.
Yeah. Sorry.
Festober month.
Fester from the Addams Family Tober month.
Wintober.
Oh, you can find us on Facebook if you search for Stranger Still, and Twitter at Stranger Still.
Yeah, so we've got like a couple of people on our Facebook page that are super awesome and post all the time. It's for everyone. It's not for just us to post and you to receive.
Google at, yeah.
Yeah,
a community.
So please join in there because we've got many, many, many more views than we have members of that group.
Yep.
And I know you're on Facebook.
So go do that. It being the start of October month, we will get into some spooky stuff in a second. First, we got some Facebook questions I want to make sure we answer. Let's see. Jason had a lot of questions on here, which is great. He wanted to know how many deaths were attributed to the act of grave robbery. There was no figures that I could find. The closest one I could find was that there was those 700 students per year in London that each needed a body. And this went on for like 150 years or so.
Jeez.
The only thing we know for sure is the minimum number of people Burke and Hare murdered for this, and it was 16 at least.
Two was Ed Gein.
Ed Gein confessed to two murders, but he may have done more.
Right. Jason wanted to know what the most high-profile grave robbery in recorded history was. And I mean, that's subjective, but I came across Charlie Chaplin. Have you guys heard about that?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
I had posted that we were doing grave robbery on here on Facebook, and then the next day, well, today, my coworker came into work, and they're like, oh, have you heard about Charlie Chaplin? I was like, I saw it in an article, but I haven't read it yet, and she was telling me all about it. Basically, the day like after he was buried, they went back to his gravesite, and it was all empty, and there was drag marks. Someone had just dragged his coffin away to a truck somewhere and then held his body for ransom.
That sucks.
They held his body for, I don't know how much money, but the wife didn't want to pay up because she's like, well,
$400,000 British pounds.
There you go, yeah.
Pounds sterling, which, I guess, is the correct term.
Yes, and she didn't want to pay up. And from what I see, a lot of the modern body snatching is purely for holding for ransom.
Do you think Charlie Chaplin saw Star Wars? He died on Christmas Day in 1977, so it had come out about 6 months prior.
Ooh.
Oh, definitely.
I wonder if Chaplin saw Star Wars is a new thing that I'm gonna think. There was an oldest lady in the world who died the year Space Jam came out, and when she was a child met Vincent Van Gogh, and I want to know if Vincent Van Gogh is only 1 degree removed from Space Jam.
That's absurd.
Wow.
I also love that you've put this in my brain.
Really, did she miss anything though? When we reach peak culture?
Yeah. No.
Yeah. We don't know if she saw Space Jam or not. We just know that she met Vincent Van Gogh.
How poetic.
Let's see. Jason also said your co-host is 100% going to rob your grave after you die. How do you stop them?
Okay. Well, there's two of them this time.
Yeah, so if John's going to rob my grave, I'm going to put a bunch of dead pigs on top of my coffin.
Yeah, I would just... Nah, thanks.
And then if
this
Jeff...
This is easy. I just don't have to tell you when I die.
Oh, or where you're getting buried?
Yeah.
I was going to say, if Jeff's going to rob my grave, I am going to... I don't know your fears enough.
If I want to get in there, I'm getting in there.
I'll put a bunch of... I know that you have cats, so I'll just put a bunch of live cats on top of it, so then you'll get distracted and want to play with the cats instead of digging me up. Does that work?
Oh, see? But then I'll know that your grave is the one with all the cats on it. I'll be able to find you very easily.
So, John, how do you keep people from robbing my grave? Robbing your grave? You know what I mean.
Yeah, I get it, dude. So, for me... I'm going to, like, just slather my entire body with peanut butter.
Oh, God.
Which is, like, your worst nightmare.
Yeah.
which I do every night anyway, so it's
just
not, like...
your skin
Yeah,
voice.
It's just kind of a shot in the dark at that point of if I don't wake up one night, at least I've got the peanut butter on me. And then for Jeff...
I stole the good one.
Yeah, you did do the little cat trick, but it's kind of going to backfire on you.
Yeah.
I think maybe I'd put like a book of puns, but I'd have them be like slightly off, so it would annoy him enough that he'd have to think through correcting them and like,
yeah. Something. I think that's solid.
So just any way to get you to go off onto a tangent where you get distracted and leave, something like that.
And Jeff has a solid way. We just don't know where he lives, so
he's just in the East Coast.
Yeah, that's it. It's not going to get narrowed down more than that. two famous almost grave robbings were Elvis Presley and Abraham Lincoln, but the robbers were not successful.
Were they caught or were they just like thwarted?
I think the Elvis ones messed up, and the Abe Lincoln ones had like a gun that went off when it wasn't supposed to.
So they like heard the loud noise and came running?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, wow. It's, a paid police informant infiltrated the crew of the men and told on them.
What? So it was like a Departed situation.
I see. Spoilers. They got away because of an errant gunshot going off. Oh.
Oh, dang.
Weird. I want to read more about that.
Do you know how you prevent us from stealing? Oh, for Nick, you weren't going to tell him. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for both of us.
My predicted future celebrity grave robbing is Nicolas Cage, because everyone knows where his tomb is, because it's already been built. And it's a big pyramid in New Orleans.
Yeah. Why would you do that? Everyone knows where to steal your body from.
Yeah.
I don't know if he told anybody. I think it just, like, got out that that's where he's going to be buried.
I don't know. I got one from William that says that grave robbers prefer to be called resurrection men. That's a real thing. They would be called resurrectionists. And then Jason has one more thing that I think is worth bringing up here, because it leads into how I want to end this episode. And he wants to know, what is your most scary format for creepypasta / scary internet stories? And I'll swing it to Jeff first.
Format like medium, like show versus, like video versus text or whatever?
Well, he's got examples here. So he says fully fictional, or like a message thread or an email log, or multi-day updated threads, or like a story with pictures. So like, I don't know, like a forum post, is that scarier than a blog post?
I know what he means
post?
Now.
Yeah.
I prefer an epistolary format, and that used to just mean a collection of letters like the book Frankenstein.
Yeah.
But I think now epistolary should also be able to include other kinds of textual communication. Candle Cove is written like this. It looks like someone copied and pasted the text off of a message board. Mm-hmm. Ben Drowned is actually told through a message board thread. That's another good one. There's a couple videos that are like embedded in some of the posts and stuff.
I think to steal a word from you, it gives the most verisimilitude, and makes it feel more engaging and real, which makes it spooky.
Exactly.
Yeah, when you do
there's a couple
clicking around.
There's a couple ongoing ones on Twitter that are just like, this is a horror story in a Twitter thread that I'm going to tell in real time over the course of weeks.
Yeah, that's weird. I saw you post about that on your Creepypasta group, but I haven't checked it out yet. So
I thought about doing something like that in the past with like a scheduling Tumblr posts and making it seem real. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it's hard to figure Tumblr out, but
So to close out this episode, I want to start the spooky Olympics. Ooh, thunder crash, bats flying, intro to Scooby-Doo,
chain rattle. Okay.
Chain rattle.
Taxes.
That's also scary. So I want to introduce a new segment where we try to suggest something to scare the other person.
Nick's looking at my phone trying to steal my ideas.
I didn't know what you had pulled up. I figured that's what it was, but I can't read it from here. So that could be a movie, a book, short story, creepypasta, comic, TV show, anything like that. And then I guess John and I will come back next week and say if it scared us or not. And
pretty good.
If any of our listeners want to participate, you can suggest them on our Facebook or Twitter, and we'll try to watch as many as we can to see if you spook us. So I'll start. My suggestion, where'd it go, is Good Night, Mommy, which I haven't watched yet, but I want to. It's about two little boys that think that their mommy has been replaced by another woman after she gets like face surgery. It's an Austrian film. And it looks really good. So go watch that.
I'm also going to make a suggestion here that doesn't necessarily have to play into your contest, but I threw it up in the group chat here. It's a comic by Emily Carroll that I think we've covered on Creepypasta. It was this one called His Face All Red.
Oh, yes.
And it's a very, very spooky and good webcomic that has extremely long pages because it's on the web. I like it a lot.
I'll make John read this one, because I've read this one, but it's pretty good. So, John, what's your suggestion?
So, I was trying to be, like, as on topic as possible.
Yeah.
With grave robbery. Grave robbery. And I don't remember this full movie, but Repo the Genetic Opera.
Oh, I've heard about that, yeah?
That's a thing.
That's a thing. So,
but the scariest movie, yeah, that's good. But the scariest movie that I've seen lately is probably Bring Me Roger Stone.
I have never heard of that.
Yeah,
what's it about?
It's about Roger Stone.
Oh God,
And
I'm gonna stab you in the eye really when we're spooky. Done with this recording.
He's like a goblin, and he goes and he goes, yes, yes, we're going to get you elected.
Only you would find a way to make this episode political.
Okay. Well, I bet Jeff could too, but he's being...
He's being a good guy.
I did it a little bit.
So I think that'll close it out for this week. Join us again for another spooky episode next week of October month. Another exciting guest to bring some spooky topic to us. And I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
I'm still Jeff.
And this is Stranger Still.